Well, good morning. It's always a privilege and an honor when I get a chance to get up and share with the great people of Capitol. But as Troy was talking about building character, I thought I would just open the window a little bit and give you just another peek into the life of Troy Champ this past week. You see, Susanna and Tara attended a leadership conference in Chicago. So on top of running the church, doing the sound and all of that, Troy also had Emma, who is age 5, and twin girls, age 10 months, that he had to take care of. Now, that meant feeding, changing diapers, dealing with triple fuss, taking care of the laundry, and there's lots of it. And one night, Sandy and I just got home, and we got a text message. Dot, dot, dot. Poo explosion. Oh, my gosh. We just got them bathed. We just got them changed. We fixed them the bottle. They were in the beds. It's time to go to sleep. And major poo. So you may be wondering, why is he up there if Troy's here? Why isn't Troy speaking? Well, let me just tell you. Troy couldn't even get a drink of water, much less prepare a message. So, Troy, thanks for the opportunity. Let me begin by sharing an observation from my life. You see, the longer I journey with Jesus, I realize that as I draw closer to Him, the smaller I become. Ever been there? I mean, I recognize more and more that I'm an imperfect man in need of His mercy and His grace and forgiveness. The good news is that as I journey with God, He takes the initiative to get out of my life what's in my life. He helps me. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Isn't that good news? Well, how does He do this? Let me see if I can illustrate this for you. You see, the Spirit of God is responsible for working in my heart. And those things that are not pleasing to God need to go. So the Holy Spirit is a skillful surgeon, and He knows exactly where to probe and bring to my attention those attitudes, sins, or behaviors that are not pleasing to Him. Some refer to this activity as conviction. I remember when I was a young boy, I had an infected place on my arm, so mother took me to the doctor. Sitting there waiting for the doctor, I'm anxious. The doctor comes in, he looks at this place, he squeezes it, he probes and he says, "Does this hurt?" I said, "Well, yeah, it hurts." Well, my friends, that's also how the Holy Spirit works. He will probe into your life and bring to your attention those things that are not pleasing to God. You may cry, you may hurt, it may even be painful. But remember, spiritual surgery is for our own good as we continue to grow and mature in Christ. Recently, Troy shared a message. He was talking about the simplicity of our journey with Jesus. He said our journey with Jesus could be boiled down to these three things. Love God more, love people more, and take responsibility for our own spiritual growth. Simple, yet profound. Troy and I like to talk a lot about church, and he was sharing with me about a survey that has recently been conducted in several large Midwest churches. And the question that was intriguing was, what is the one thing that you do that causes you to grow spiritually? Now, you may be surprised at the number one answer. It wasn't going to church every Sunday. It wasn't listening to a message. It wasn't even fellowship among other believers. The number one reason people gave for growing spiritually was reading the Bible. Reading and applying the Word of God to your lives will cause you to grow spiritually. You see, God is always speaking. But one of the primary ways that He speaks to us is through the inspiration of His Word. And I believe that God wants to speak to us today. So I'm going to ask if you would be willing, would you have the courage, would you have the boldness to pray with me a prayer that basically says, God, I'm prepared to hear from you regarding anything. Would you pray that with me? Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we've come here today for a number of reasons. But one of those reasons is being able to hear your voice and to take what you have to share with us and to help change us and to shape us and to mold us into the people you want us to be. God, we're prepared this morning to hear from you regarding anything. I pray that we would be open to receive, and when we hear from you, be prepared to take action. God, we love you. We want to please you. And we offer this prayer to you today. In the name of Jesus, amen. James and I were high school buddies. We worked together at a Western Auto store that was near the high school. And we loved spending time together. After graduation, James was drafted into the Army and was sent to Vietnam while I went off to college. A few months later, we got word that James had been killed. But James had not been shot by the Viet Cong. Tragically, unnecessarily, he had been shot by one of his own buddies. It was unintentional, for sure, but my friend was just as dead. The U.S. Army said he was killed by friendly fire. We hear a lot today about weapons, deadly weapons. I think it would probably surprise us to know how many people possess them. You know, if I put metal detectors at every door of the church today, I'm reasonably sure that no one has brought any deadly weapons into the service, right? But oh, my friends, each of us has. We each possess a powerful weapon, a weapon that has the power to be gracious or the power to consume. It is our tongue. Jewish rabbis once spoke of the tongue as an arrow. I thought, well, why an arrow and not a knife? They spoke of the tongue as an arrow because it kills at a distance. You see, you don't have to be anywhere near a person for the tongue to do its evil deed. With our words, we have the power to be gracious or the power to be consuming, the power to destroy or the power to create. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12, says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool consume him. So let's explore the tongue's power to destroy and to create. Now, I'm going to refer to many scriptures this morning, and I'm doing that on purpose. Hopefully, you'll see the importance of knowing God's word and applying it to your life so that you can grow spiritually. In James chapter 3, it says, the tongue is like a spark that sets the whole forest on fire. That's not a relative. The tongue will restlessly snatch for more and more to consume. The tongue is potentially full of evil. The tongue is potentially full of poison. The tongue charts and controls our whole life. The tongue can corrupt our whole being. Well, how can we avoid this dreadful destruction? How can we avoid hurting God and others close to us through friendly fire? Well, I believe it's through avoiding the negative uses of the tongue. The first negative use of our tongue that we must avoid is deceit and lying. You may say, well, thank goodness this is not about me. As followers of Jesus, we all know that we must speak the truth. God does not like liars. It says in Proverbs 12:22, this is what the Bible says. The Lord detests lying lips. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will even stand in my presence. The mouths of liars will be silenced. A false witness will not go unpunished. He who pours out lies will perish. Murderers and all liars will be in the fiery lake. You may ask, doesn't it take a lot of lies to become a liar? What about stretching the truth just a little bit? What about telling just a little white lie? What about not telling the whole truth? Well, I believe that the half-truth is still a lie. It only takes one murder to make a murderer. What God is lovingly trying to tell us is that He wants us to tell the truth. Psalms 34:13 declares, keep your lips from speaking lies. The second negative use of the tongue that we should avoid is gossip. Gossip is the telling of uncertain or personal information about others. Someone shares something with us in confidence and we can't wait to spread it. Gossip hurts people because it says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13, that gossip betrays a confidence. How many relationships have you seen destroyed through gossip? How many reputations ruined? Think of a time when you've been the victim. Think about a time when you had someone talk behind your back, talked about your flaws, your imperfections, your shortcomings. How did it make you feel? Did you feel loved and accepted? What did it do to your self-esteem? Why do we do it? Maybe because it's interesting, juicy, and tasty. Proverbs 18:8 says that the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. Just recently, I learned that a senior executive with our company was having an affair with a coworker. He lived out of state, so he commuted into the home office every week. This was very inappropriate, and he knew better. But the juicy part came when his wife found out about the affair. Can you imagine the anger that she had? Well, she got on a plane and she flew into Cleveland, Ohio, and came into the home office and burst into a meeting where this guy was with other senior executives and confronted him with that there and then. It was very emotional. It was loud. There were accusations going. People in the other office areas could hear. So can you imagine, like wildfire, as soon as people left that meeting, it was all over the headquarters office. Now, I work remote now. I'm here in Salt Lake City. I'm not in headquarters any longer. But when I heard about this, my first inclination was to pick up the phone and call someone, some friends that I know, and just talk about it. It was juicy. It was interesting. The only problem was I was preparing for this message. And God checked me in my spirit and says, don't you call anyone and don't you become a gossip. Why then do we gossip? Well, gossip has a tendency to bring others down while it raises us up. You know, I feel better about myself when I know other people are having issues and problems. My friends, this is a very serious sin in the eyes of God. There is a list of behaviors in Romans chapter 1 that God does not approve of, and liars and gossips are on that list. May we stop allowing gossip of any kind to pass our lips, and may we also not receive gossip from anyone. The third negative use of our tongue that we must avoid is slander. Slander is speaking harmful or spiteful words about others or to others. True or false? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. The Bible says in the book of James that, yeah, sticks and stones are going to probably break your bones, but words can do even more damage. Words hurt. Words betray. Let's not let our words become a consuming fire. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, the godless do this. With their mouth, the godless destroys his neighbor. Rid yourself of slander of any kind. In the opening verses of Psalms 15, it says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Lord, who may live on your holy hill? He who has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong, and who casts no slur on his fellow man. Some of you may say, well, listen, you don't understand. They deserve it. The Word of God says in Proverbs 12, overlook their wrongdoings. Do not repay evil for evil. If your brother sins against you, go to him privately. Slander no one. Be peaceable, be considerate, and show true humility to all men. The tongue is so powerful. Some of us are highly trained assassins with the English language. Some of us have such a way with words that we know exactly what to say to make our point. You can win any argument. You can put people in their place. Your sarcasm is so cunning and so biting. You know, it's almost a sport in corporate America today, and even in our politics. We've got to have it our way. We're going to state our case, and we're going to bash each other until we win. Let me just share one more example from the workplace. We had a senior sales vice president who was a very difficult man to please. He had a way of putting people down, talking down to them, almost ridiculing them, so that he could keep the upper hand and always be in control of the conversation. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know people like that? So many meetings, when he'd walk in the room, the hair on the back of my neck would stand up just like that. He could put you on the defense very, very quickly with his words. I've literally watched him destroy people verbally. After about 2 years of this kind of communication style, or should I say verbal abuse, the company finally got rid of him. Some of us are so brutally honest with our words that we tell people exactly what we think of them, what we think of their ideas, what we think of their appearance. We're just brutally honest. Oh, but honesty isn't a bad thing. I'm not saying that. But this type of honesty tends to leave in its wake broken relationships, broken hearts, and broken dreams. My friends, if you are gifted in the way of using the English language, just be careful. Once you say words, they're out there. You can't get them back. The Bible is clear. Do not do it. Do not slander. The fourth negative use of our tongue that we must avoid is grumbling. I'm hitting on some good stuff today, right? Very quiet. Grumbling, complaining, murmuring, and criticizing should be avoided. When a non-Christian gets bugged or upset, what do? They curse and they swear. When a Christian gets bugged or upset, they grumble and criticize. When you consider the two responses, is there much of a difference? 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, "Do not grumble." I have to admit that from time to time, I'm guilty of this. We grumble about people. We grumble about our families. We grumble about our jobs. We grumble about our church. We whimper. We whine. We grumble. The Bible says, do not do it. If it was sin for Israel, it's sin for us. May I remind you, and may I remind me, what the great apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do everything without complaining. Help us, Lord, to be careful about grumbling. The last negative use of the tongue that we must avoid is crudeness and foolishness. Americans are well known around the world for our crudeness and rudeness and coarseness. It's in our movies, it's in our culture, it's on our jobs, it's everywhere, it's amongst us. Maybe our youthfulness is where we can claim we have the right to speak that way. Guys, maybe it's our maleness that gives us the right to talk that way. Maybe it's our ethnic origin or our geographic region that we point to that gives us the right to speak this way. But all the Bible recognizes is a standard of righteousness and a standard of maturity that is to rule our whole lives, including how we talk. The Bible doesn't tell me to be clever. It doesn't tell me to be cute. It doesn't tell me to be cocky. And it doesn't tell me to be cool. It tells me to be careful. It tells me to be godly. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says, God hates perverse speech. The mouth of the fool gushes folly. Well, you may say, well, does that mean that if we're shooting hoops or playing golf, that we got to speak scripture to each other? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we need to watch our silliness and our sarcasm. Well, you may say, if we follow everything you're talking about, we're going to be talking less. That's right. That's right. Talk less. We need to listen more and talk less. Remember, God gave us two ears and one mouth. He must have thought that listening was pretty important. Why? Because our words are apt to go astray. We're better off when we talk less. When Sandy and I were practically newlyweds, we lived in Houston, and both sets of parents lived in Houston. And I know this probably doesn't happen to any of you, but, you know, there was an expectation. You visit her parents the same amount of times you visit your parents, and you got to split Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you got to go both. So there was this pressure to make sure we did that right. Well, this particular night, we were at my parents' house. So we had dinner and went out in the front yard, and we sat and we talked for a while. It was getting kind of late and time for us to go. And I just leaned back in the lawn chair and I said, well, another night wasted. My dad said, thanks a lot. Oh, no, Dad, I didn't mean it like that. It just came out. I didn't mean another night wasted, like we didn't want to come over here or anything like that. But can you imagine how it made him and my mom feel just to hear the way I said it? Words are apt to go astray. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2 says, do not be quick with your mouth. Let your words be few. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. The fool multiplies his words. You see, our words have great consequences. In Matthew, the Bible says, man will have to give an account on judgment day for every careless word they have spoken. What? Man will have to give an account on judgment day for every careless word they have spoken. Now, this literally scares the liver out of me. And I'm not trying to scare you. But it is in the Bible. Also, if anyone considers himself religious and does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. You may say, I know so many people that break every one of these things. God says in Exodus 23:2, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong, no matter the size of the crowd. You see, we must not use our tongues negatively. We need to use our tongues positively. Let me quickly focus on the positive uses of our tongue, because it gives us the power to create, the power to be gracious. As Christians, our conversations should always be full of grace. But before our words can be good, our heart must be good. If we have a mouth problem, it's because we have a heart problem. In Matthew chapter 15, it says, the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings forth good things out of the good stored up inside of him. A good heart will speak good words in two directions. First, we will speak good words about God. Psalms 145 says, "One generation will commend your words to another. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom so that men will know." After Sandy and I accepted Christ by faith, we joined a discipleship group. And the leader of that group talked good words about Jesus. So much so that Jesus became irresistible to us. The psalmist declared in Psalm 71, "My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long." Speak good words about God. May our conversations always be full of grace. If our heart is full of God, our words will be full of God. Secondly, if our heart is good, we will also speak good words about and to others. Do you know people that just being in their presence speaks such positive, uplifting, encouraging words, you just want to be near them? Boy, I want to be that way, don't you? The Bible says in Proverbs, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. The lips of the righteous nourish many." As I close this message, the book of James basically says we have two very serious problems. We have an uncontrollable tongue, and we have an inconsistent tongue. Again from James, "The human tongue can be tamed by no man. Out of the mouth comes praise and cursing. This should not be. Can fresh water and salt water come from the same spring?" You may be here today, and the Holy Spirit has been lovingly placing conviction upon your heart. I mean, no one really loves conviction, do we? But it is a sure way of knowing that God, the creator of the universe, loves you so much that he will begin to point out areas in your life that you need to deal with. So what will your response be? Or what do you need to do? Some of us just need to admit that this is a problem in our lives and that we need God's help. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness." Acknowledge that this is a problem. Be honest and confess it to God. Ask for forgiveness and accept his forgiveness. Remember when I shared the scripture about man will have to give an account for every careless, idle word we've ever uttered? Daily, I say, "Oh God, have mercy upon me. Forgive me for every careless, idle word I have ever uttered." And you know what? He's faithful, and he forgives me, and he wipes it away. Acknowledge that this is a problem in your life. When I first became a Christian, I worked in an industrial environment. And in a plant, cursing was just something that happened. And I have to say, I participated in it too. I wasn't that I was that way at home that much, but at the plant, it was just different. So I decided, I'm going to stop. I just don't think that's right. I'm going to stop. So I went to work the next day, and I made it to lunchtime. And then it just came out. And I was disappointed in myself, and I failed. But, you know, tomorrow's another day, so tomorrow I'm going to give another try. So the next day came. I made it till 10 in the morning, and then it came out. Okay, this is really hard, and okay, I've really got to focus. I've really got to concentrate. So the next day came, and I didn't even get a cup of coffee before it came out. So that night as I was praying, I said, God, I'm trying to stop this, and I'm really having a problem with it. I don't think I can stop. He says, you're right. You can't. In your own strength, you can't do anything. But if you will just give it to me, I will take care of it. And so I surrendered that part of my life to him, believing that he would take care of it. Remember I said Jesus was the author and the perfecter of our faith? When I gave that to him, he took that away from me. And since that day, I've never had another problem with that. He is faithful. For the rest of us, I wonder if there's some of you who, along with me, will join the psalmist in making a resolution today. Psalm 17:3 says, I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. God being my helper, I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. But my resolve will not be enough. We'll have to join the psalmist as well in two requests he makes unto God. In Psalms 141:3, he declares, O God, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And secondly, in Psalms 19, he writes, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Will you join me today in resolving that with God's help, I will not sin with my mouth? And will you join the psalmist in asking God to set a guard over my lips so that the words that come out of them will be pleasing to him? My friends, the word of God is powerful and it's direct and it is there in love to help you become the people that God wants you to become, to help you grow spiritually, to move forward, to become more and more like Jesus. Read the word. Digest the word and apply it to your life. Then you will love God more. You will love people more. And you will take responsibility for your own spiritual growth. Allow the Holy Spirit to be the surgeon. Be prepared and willing to hear from him about anything. And when you're in that place, in the palm of his hand, you can pray and say, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Troy.
Something I have learned over the last 15 years is that the man you just heard from practices what he preaches. I wish I was as careful with my words as my father-in-law, Dennis. I wish I was as intentional with my words as he is. I want to have the kind of vocabulary, I want to have the kind of conversations that bring life. The key is in this verse. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Friends, if you have a mouth problem, you have a heart problem. If you go through life without a filter and you say whatever's on your mind in spite of what it means to people or how they take it, what's going on in here? Do you lack the same love that God has for those people? If you felt prodded today to reevaluate your language, then I'd say take it to God. Pray this prayer. Allow him to search the very depths of your heart to see if there's anything there that needs to be submitted to him, to his lordship. May the words of your mouth please your Father. May the words that escape your lips bring life to everyone who hears them. And may the depths of your heart, your motives, your passions, your innermost feelings, may they bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus. Thanks for being here. See you next week.